The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Andrea Kaye Show. She's blonde, 5'2", and 102 pounds of dynamite in a dress. Here she is, Andrea Kaye.
Welcome to hour two of tonight's Andrea Kaye Show. Digging that 60s vibe there on that intro music. Hey, if you missed last hour, definitely download the podcast wherever you get your pods, because we covered a whole lot of ground from the Trump trial update, what's happening there in a New York courtroom, to the Supreme Court today that heard really powerful, important arguments today related to the Jan 6 defendants. And even so much more shocking news, which really shouldn't be so shocking, documentation that was found regarding illegals being instructed to vote for Joe Biden after they came and invaded our country. So definitely you don't want to miss it. Email me at AndreaKayShow.com, AndreaKayShow.com. Love getting y'all's emails, and I try to respond to them all and read them out over the air. Just love you guys so much. I tell you who else I love. I love this man. He's with me every night of the week. He's yummy. He's nutritional, always good for you, and always filling. It is DJ Sesame Broccolini.
I'm as mad as hell. I'm not going to take this anymore.
This minimum wage law just is the gift that just keeps on giving. The taco prices. It's Taco Tuesday. I'm going to get myself some tacos anyway. But they're really it is just so annoying dealing with the insanity of coming from Mussolini in Sacramento. Sacramento, whatever it is. But still, I mean, I used to pay 99 cents for a fish taco. Now I'm paying like $3-4. This is – guys, this is getting out of hand.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Yeah. In San Diego, come on. I'm a simple man, simple pleasures. I would like to be able to have my neighborhood taco store. It's 99 cents to $1.50 tops. Come on, guys. This is just crazy. And all the deals on Taco Tuesday, the deals are going away. It's just this is just insane.
Yeah, for sure. The Taco Bell doesn't even have their run for the border, 99 cents value menu anymore. you're paying a couple bucks for a taco with the smell, man. Okay, that's Biden's America. Okay. At least I don't even think Taco Bell, Jack in the Box, and I actually like Jack in the Box tacos. They had the 2 for 99 cents for a long time. That is bye-bye. Mm-hmm. So, good luck getting a deal anymore. I sometimes will even drive through Jack in the Crack and get like an order of their minis, because those are easy to eat while you're driving down the road.
Mm-hmm. Pretty tasty, all right, too.
Yeah, they're very tasty. Absolutely, because I'm not a taco snob, as y'all know. Okay. Speaking of snobs, she used to be considered America's sweetheart. I was never a fan of hers, by the way. I never bought into the fact that just because she had little tiny teeth and when she smiled, you saw a lot of gums and little chubby cheeks. Never meant to me. I never could stand Katie Couric. Okay. I didn't like how she got the gig and bumped off. It wasn't Jane Pauley. No, Deborah Norville bumped off Jane Pauley. And so then I really wasn't sad that Deborah Norville got bumped off for Katie Couric, because quite frankly, I was never really a fan of the Today Show. And now, and I never bought it. The only thing that I ever did like about Katie Couric is I thought it was incredibly brave for her to do not just do a colonoscopy, but to do it. She did it on air live with no anesthesia. Yeah. I wouldn't even want my spouse in the room with me getting a colonoscopy. And I certainly don't want to be conscious getting a colonoscopy. And I certainly don't want to be doing it, broadcasting into people's homes. Who wants to see anything up my hiney? on a morning show. But she did. But she did it because her husband, Jay Moynihan or Monahan, died. I think he was 39 years old when he died of colon cancer.
What?
And this was, yes, he was very young.
Wow.
And that's why she was wanting to raise awareness to the point to where she was willing to do that on live TV. And let me tell you, as a woman, you know, I get the whole vanity thing, you know, yeah, that to me, I thought was, she gets credit for that. But that that only carried her a couple of years for me, because I always found her annoying after that. And she's kind of, then she, after she left the Today Show, I think she got paid buku bucks to go and do some evening broadcast on CBS, and nobody followed her there. Nobody's really been that interested in her. So she has resurfaced again, trying to reinvent herself. Look, Madonna's the only one who, up until she went nutso over 60, she was the only one to successfully reinvent herself a lot of different, you know, times. I mean, not even Cher was able to. So, you know, I don't know why some of these long tooth anchors think they're going to be able to do it. But she has resurfaced on Bill Maher and decided to show her elitist, pompous, arrogant self to the world. And it didn't go well for Miss Katie Couric. Sesame, if you can play the clip, it says outnumbered, but it's Katie Couric.
The socioeconomic disparities are a lot, and class resentment is a lot, what, and anti-intellectualism and elitism is what is driving many of these anti-establishment, which are Trump voters, right, or anti-establishment, absolutely, voters. So I think that is a huge problem that we have to address. I don't know if you've ever been jealous of what someone else has or resentful. It is such a corroding and bitter, almost bile feeling.
Projection. Your table for one is ready because nobody can stand to sit next to you in a booth. What? That didn't even make sense. Why would you, if you're one of the elites and such a part of the upper end of the socioeconomic scale, why would you need to be jealous or envious of anybody? She can't even do projection well. Okay. The reality is it is projection, because communism and socialism, whatever ism, form of ism that you want to pick from, is all about the politics of entitlement and envy and greed. The idea that somebody who didn't earn it should get it because of the color of their skin. That's what diversity, equity, inclusion is all about. 100%. It's based on a sense of entitlement and greed and envy. People who didn't earn it, expecting to get the proceeds and the benefits from those who did. What an absolute, I can't even say what I want to say about her, but you know what? Others have spoken for me, because it didn't go well for Katie Couric saying that kind of insane drivel. Anything you want to say in response, Esme?
I mean, yeah, that was really quite disgusting and unbecoming. But it does go to show that she really does not understand anything about the MAGA movement, or about Trump, or even about intellectualism.
We're so anti-intellectual, because here she is accusing MAGA of being elitist as she's spewing elitism. I mean, the stench coming out of her hiney right now is reminding me of the colonoscopy. Go on.
Yeah. You could say that. And it really is. I'm surprised. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that there's a lot of backlash. I hope she's facing a lot of backlash for that, because it's pretty disturbing.
Oh,
but
she is.
Even just the logic of it, your whole argument here is that Trump is elitist because he's anti-establishment. Is that really the line of logic that you're going with? Because those two things are very radically different historically. And it's the case here. I mean, look at Trump in the streets. He's a man of the people. That's what he has that she wants to see in a Democrat. He's out there at a Chick-fil-A in Georgia, and people are coming up to him saying, "Trump, we love you." don't listen to the media. And it's for so many reasons. And they just can't stand it. The Trump derangement syndrome is worse this time around than it was in 2016. And they're going to try all the same rhetoric. They're going to go after him with all the same crap. And just this dehumanization and presumption that Trump supporters are somehow unintelligent really just ticks me off, because there are so many bright, smart people in this movement who are very patriotic, and it's just not true at all. But again, you know, why get upset with her? I just want to beat her. Success is the best revenge for all of these clowns, and that's what Trump understands, and that's why he still fights, and he's fighting for us. So I'm not going to let that get in the way of me trying to take this country back.
Yeah. She needs to go find somebody to let her, you know, stand next to somebody. The cooking segments. Okay. That's she needs to go back to standing there while somebody's, you know, making an omelet. Okay. That's what she needs to go back to doing, because that's all she's good at. Okay. All right. What else did I want to write? Oh, you know who did say something really kind of fascinating from the celebrity realm is Aaron Rodgers. He has really, I thought he was just a boring guy back from, you know, when my NFL obsessed days, and I always thought he was overhyped as a QB, and also couldn't stand him because, you know, Green Bay was always, you know, in the NFC competition for my Saints. But, you know, I had to give him props back when he pushed back against the shot and had the courage to do so. No matter what it cost him in terms of his NFL career. But here's something that he said today about HIV. I think Rodgers knows the time of day when it comes to government tyranny. If you can play the clip.
The blueprint, the game plan was made in the 80s. Create a pandemic, you know, with a virus that's going wild, right? He was given, Fauci was given like over $350 million to research this, to come up with drugs, new or repurposed, to handle the AIDS pandemic. And all they came up with was AZT. And if you do even a smidge of research, and I know I'm not a, you know, epidemiologist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not an immunologist, whatever the I can read though, right? And I can learn and look things up just like any normal person. You know, I can do my own research, which was so vilified, you know, to even question authority. But that was the game plan back then. Create an environment where only one thing works. Back then, AZT. Now, remdesivir until we get a vaccine, which, by the way, Anthony Fauci had stake in the Moderna vaccine. And we know Pfizer is one of the most criminally corrupt organizations ever. The fine they paid was the biggest in the history of the DOJ in 2009. Like, what are we talking about? We're going to put our full trust in science that can't be questioned.
Yeah. A lot of people have, during the course of COVID, have pushed back and talked about Fauci, and during the HIV days when he was testing, you know, shots on foster kids in New York. But nobody's really put it in that context that it was the same playbook in terms of this virus that was going around and being spread that nobody had seen before, and it was killing people. And somehow Big Pharma only came up with one solution, and it cost buku bucks. I think that's fascinating correlation and some connecting of some dots. What do you say, Sesame?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff, you know, I haven't been able to read all of it, but so much of this is spelled out in that book, The Real Anthony Fauci, which really, really goes. And if you want a deep look at the AIDS crisis as someone who, you know, is just an outside observer trying to look back and figure out what the heck happened, it's incredible. I mean, they take this drug that was being used for chemotherapy but's killing cancer patients faster than the cancer was, AZT. Then they start forcing it on people, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Really, it is. And Robert Malone's talked a lot about this because he worked with Fauci, and he knew what was going on with Fauci back in the 80s. So, yeah, it's – So it's crazy. I wish this information had been coming to light before the quote unquote scandemic or whatever, but obviously they were censoring the narrative and censoring people online. And then even after the fact, and we're still not really even allowed to talk about it freely when we should be able to, in the sense that you still can get into trouble on certain social media platforms. If you even mention anything about the vid, if you even say it, then they'll try everything they can to suppress it, you know, de-amplify your voice, so to speak, like Yoel Roth was doing at Twitter with conservatives. So yeah, it's important this information gets to light. And good on Aaron Rodgers, by the way, someone who's not really in this field, for putting himself out there, because it seems like he genuinely wants to get to what's true and what's right. And maybe there's that like classic sense of American duty for his fellow countrymen. I don't know, but I mean, my hat goes off to him for you know, opening his mouth and actually talking about this stuff, because he does have a platform. He does have influence. People do look up to him. People that aren't necessarily in the weeds with politics every single day. And maybe he can open some eyes. You know, maybe we can do some real good to start, you know, expediting this whole awakening that will inevitably come, right? Eventually, people will realize they got duped. It's just a matter of when. And hopefully this will speed
up. I'm going to make him today's, you know, nominee for hero because some people might say, well, yeah, it's okay. You know, when you've got that much money, you can afford to be brazen because you can't lose your job. Let me tell you, nobody likes to be canceled. Nobody likes to be vilified. Mm-hmm. There's still things at stake for him, his personal relationships and being vilified by the public, and maybe sponsorship deals and future work and different things. So, you know, if you've never been on the receiving end of hate, I mean, to put yourself out there is, you know, can be a frightening thing to do, particularly from somebody that has, you know, been in the limelight and gotten a lot of love from people for his career. So he deserves much credit. Much credit. We need more people being willing to jeopardize their reputation and being willing to sacrifice any future sponsorship deals and future money to do what's right and to say what's right for this country. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got more to talk about on the other side, so don't go anywhere.
Andrea Kay, bringing the world a much-needed reality check. You're listening to The Andrea Kay Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kay Show. Before the break, we were talking about Katie Couric. We talked about a couple of things. Two big-name celebrities kind of came back out from being away for a while and making some what could be considered controversial remarks. First was Katie Couric insulting 75 million MAGA voters, calling us anti-intellectual. You know, what a pseudo-intellectual snob she is. Good riddance off my TV screen. She's receiving much backlash from that. And then we talked about Aaron Rodgers' comments about Anthony Fauci and basically saying the HIV was a creation of the government for big pharma. And I want to follow up on that because you may be shocked to hear that. You may think that there's no way the federal government could have been involved in that. It should be clear after all the stories that have been done for what they are manufacturing health crises in this country so that they can shove the solution to you, which makes them money and gives them control in the form of big pharma, whether it's drugs that they can keep you on, you know, perpetually taking, from blood pressure to antidepressants to this and that, to these shots that have to be renewed. Remember the COVID vaccines? You need one, and then you need two, then you need three, then the boosters, then it becomes annual. They've got us on the treadmill of manufacturing health crises, and then our government being in profit partnership with big pharma, keeping us on the hook like as drug addicts to them. And we got to get off that. We've got to get off of that, and you can. For me, in addition to doing Balance of Nature, which is fruits and vegetables, in addition to taking vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc, the anti-COVID pack, I found something called Nanosoma, which is about reintroducing polycosanols, which was taken from our food supply. It is a natural, life-giving ingredient that helps boost your immunity. It has cured me from the horrible, and yeah, I shouldn't use the C word, but all I know is that I couldn't walk across the room without intense pain from other pain from shingles side effects, and it has saved my life. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/AK. I was given samples of it and back in November, and it took me, it wasn't an overnight cure, but it took me until about mid-January, and now it's been life-saving to me. And I hadn't shared it with you guys because I was embarrassed over the whole shingles thing, but trust me, take your health back. All right. There's some financial stuff I want to share with you guys. One of the things I've also been talking about is, and it really got amped up during COVID. Suddenly, we had a virus going around, and it meant that we couldn't have any coins or cash in society. You remember that, Sesame Broccolini?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Suddenly because of COVID and a virus, nobody could make change mm-hmm. anywhere mm-hmm. and everything had to be credit card. Oh, what a coinky dink. Wow. Talk about an exploitation of trying to seize upon a virus so that they can control our lives. They wanted to get us into a digital footprint at that point, using the vaccine passport as an excuse to do it. Then under the digital footprint, everything would be under the control of the government. It didn't work out for them at that point, but that's still the plan for them. And evidently in Australia, some people have been unable to get cash from the banks. Sesame, have you heard this story?
I have not, but that is terrifying.
Yeah. Aussies, this being reported, a couple reports, one from Yahoo Finance, one from Daily Mail. I've seen a video of a news outlet discussing it, that there were some people that had gone into the bank and to cash checks, and the banks told them that we can't give you cash. We don't have any cash. So I think that's probably what caused the run up, I guess, as you call it. Aussies rushed to withdraw cash at ATMs as part of a cash out day to protest the nation moving towards cashless transactions. So the big four banks they went to was Commonwealth Bank, NAB, Westpac, and ANZ as part of a grassroots campaign. It was promoted on the Facebook page of Cash Welcome, which is a nonprofit group. I think this is, and the post read, withdraw some cash at your local ATM, EFT, POS, retailer, or bank branch to show you don't want to be herded into a cashless Australia. And you have to remember that Australia was, their crackdowns during COVID were not far from what was going on in China. People were, little videos were coming out that healthy people that dared to leave their home or people that didn't get the shot were beaten in the streets by police officers in Australia. They have gone to a really dark place in terms of tyranny. And the banks are trying to deny that they're moving to a cashless society, but there have been reports of people that they couldn't get cash when they went into the banks. And the banks supposedly were what were driving this whole excuse when you would go into the grocery store or wherever during COVID. Oh, we've got a shortage of coins, therefore, from the treasury. Since when? All of a sudden, like I just said, we got a virus and suddenly we've got a coin shortage. This is a real thing, moving to a cashless society. And it is not good for you. I know your Apple Pay may feel convenient to you and it may seem fun, but it's a trap. Anything you want to add, Sesame?
Yeah, everything comes with a cost, and every little additional convenience and luxury does come with some downside. And so I think people need to understand, I mean, yes, there's certain things, touch ID, face scan technology for unlocking cell phones, computers, that kind of thing. Sure, I mean, it definitely makes things more easy for you as a consumer, more straightforward, easy to track, but it also makes you more traceable in terms of the government. And I don't know how you look at what the Australian government and military was doing during the lockdowns and ever trust them again. I mean, truly, just those videos. There were people. I had some friends, a friend of mine actually, through my family, almost got trapped in Australia for a very long time. But they were just this whole harebrained idea that we need to forcibly quarantine perfectly healthy people mm-hmm. who are totally asymptomatic when there's nothing wrong with them in order to protect other perfectly healthy people, even though there's a virus going around with a 99.9% recovery rate. I mean, guys. This is crazy, and we are going down that road. And I don't know if people mm-hmm. necessarily see that, but it's a domino effect. It's not going to yeah. happen overnight. The tyrannical takeover, they're testing the waters with all of these manufactured issues. They want to see yeah. how are people going to respond. They want to know, are yeah. people going to quickly abdicate their own power for the sake of, you know, convenience or this illusion of security? Because as soon as you trade in any kind of liberty, God-given liberty, for this illusion of security, you get neither. The founding fathers understood that, and that's true.
Or convenience. I mean, people yeah, were yes. willing to, oh, okay, if I got to put a mask on, you know, exactly. for convenience, they went along with submission.
Yep.
And, you know, and you end up, you want to talk inconvenience. Talk about down the road. Bank of America is in the news again today, as well as the Aussie banks, because of them reported handing over without justification yeah. documentation yeah. to the FBI and about conservatives and MAGA
without a warrant, right?
Without a warrant and yeah. violating our Fourth Amendment rights. And, you know, if we go cashless, you think about that. You think about the inconvenience of you're in a digital footprint and the government doesn't like, because this is where we're going. And the government doesn't like, the banks are just giving your information. The government's got it all in your digital app. You're banking. Everything is being controlled by the government and they don't like something you've said. So, you know what? Good. You're not going to get to eat today. That's where we're going. So you think the convenience of Apple Pay is something great right now until you go in to use your digital ID to buy groceries and they don't like something you've said and now you're not getting anything, because that's where we're going. And I've even had conservatives argue with me. I got my new phone and it just scans my eyeball. Oh, yay. You know, oh, I love the convenience of going in and Apple Pay. You know, it's frightening to me how so many even so-called conservatives are not wise as to the slow walk to tyranny that we're in through convenience. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to shift gears because I got more that I got to get into. So don't go away. We will be right back. This is the Andrea Kaye Show on AM 1170, FM 96.1. And streaming all over the world.
AK, dynamite in a dress, or just Andrea Kaye, whatever you call her, she's on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kaye Show. We're going to shift gears and head up the coast to San Francisco. It's finally happened. I don't know what took so long, but people are having to dump off their houses in San Francisco because the policies that most of them voted for have so destroyed their own city that now they're having to take it up the hiney in dumping off their properties to get out. There was a report that a condo that initially sold for a few years ago, I think it was, for $1.5 million or something like that, has just been sold in the last few days. Last time it was sold, it was for $1.2 million, and it just recently sold for about $600,000. Houses have it sold last week for half of its purchase price in 2014. So it lost half of its value in 5 years or 4.5. And this is happening all across the city. They're losing 50% of their property values. That's how bad things are in San Francisco. Is this possibly going to change the housing crisis here in the state of California? Yes and no, because at some point, who's going to want to buy your crap hole house? Who's the one who said, yeah, let me pay $600,000 to live here in this toilet called San Francisco, right? So eventually, we might end up being like Detroit was a few years ago, where they couldn't give houses away for $10,000. That could be where we're going. Anything you want to add to that topic of conversation, Sesame?
I mean, it's a massive. It's huge news. I mean, think about it. Historically, your house, your property, that is one of the few assets you have that should be appreciating over time. And usually California real estate does, despite the crazy policies and politics, because it's beautiful and people generally like to live here. Having said that, that's changed. Things change.
Yeah.
San Francisco used to be a quintessential city, and now you can't walk one block without stepping on a used needle or poop, whether it's from an animal or a person. Shopping carts, graffiti, homelessness and crime.
Yeah,
literally just block after block after block. And San Francisco is not a big city, so all those little things, they really add up. I mean, you've got Knob Hill and you've got North Beach, and you've got different neighborhoods, but really San Francisco is like, 42 square miles? It's not a big city. When you're standing in the middle of it on a giant hill, you can look out every direction and see straight to the water. It's a pretty small city. So and the surrounding area, by the way, gets a lot of those issues too. So I don't know if there's any impact on real estate around outside in the general Bay Area, out like Oakland or up north,
Oakland is even more crime-ridden than San Francisco is now. Oakland, and if you watch any videos of it, it is literally – that parts of the Bay Area, Silicon Valley is still doing okay, but Oakland and which is I think called North Bay or East Bay or whatever, San Francisco are just literally practically third world countries. And San Francisco has lost its shopping. You can't the mall. Mm-hmm. There's just
hotels, restaurants, malls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a hellhole now. So and to think that people are going to go, yay, the housing market is crumbling. Well, the problem is how far is it going to go? Because who's going to want to buy it? Like I said, I don't know. I don't know who was dumb enough to pay $675 for this place, given the surrounding conditions. That's not much of a win. In fact, the crime is so bad, but the citizenry is still stupid. And let me tell you why up there, because we were just talking about the crime, right? And a lot of people evidently take the BART into the city.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the BART evidently is maybe not as crime ridden as the subway is in New York City, but it's pretty bad, right? Well, guess what they've done or what they're providing so that young women can feel safer on the BART?
Security of some kind, scanners, cameras.
Yes, they're called. Let me get the terminology though. I want to make sure I get it right. I think they're called. There's something called passenger intervention cards.
What?
Yes. So if you are on the BART and you're feeling threatened, you can go to get one of these passenger intervention cards where you will ask for help or indicate that you're in need of help or some. I mean, it's like the dumbest thing.
Wow.
Oh, it's the bystander intervention cards. Yeah.
Now that they've punished all the good Samaritans for stepping up like Daniel Penny across the country, nobody wants to intervene and actually stop bad people from doing terrible things. So it's like, no, we'll just have this restorative justice, stupid liberal take on it, where it's like you get a card and everyone draws their feelings on a piece of paper. And
You can ask any station agent for BART's free. It's free, by the way.
They're
not going to charge. It's a free bystander intervention card, which you can use if you're experiencing or witnessing harassment in stations. How do you use it? Do you, fan the sweat off of a woman who's being beaten? I mean, what? You hold it up? I mean, is it like a Rorschach test? I don't understand how this helps.
No, you hold it up and then, right, like the criminal will just know to stop. Because that's how things work, right, in San Francisco.
Yeah, this is where we're at in America. And they've got these two young girls. There's actually a video of these two young girls explaining how these bystander intervention cards work. Yeah. Try using that to defend yourself when you're being raped. Do you think that would have helped Lake and Riley? If she had held up the intervention card and waved it around to somebody in the park where she was jogging? Yeah. Just absolutely insane. This is how liberals hate you. This is how much liberals hate you, women. Remember back after the Aurora, Colorado shooting, where Colorado legislatures literally said women can use their bodily fluids to fend off attackers. Well, at least now you don't have to pee on them. You don't have to wave around a feminine hygiene product. You've got the bystander intervention card. Oh, it makes my head hurt, the stupidity. How is it even close? This is how we could still be faced with a Biden administration. This is how we have Biden. In fact, if we had a reasonably rational population in this country, this dude, I've got a clip to play from you. It's the second clip in the stack. This dude in no way could be anywhere near the Oval Office. Sesame, if you can play this.
My grandfather would tell me when I walked out the door in North Washington Avenue in Scranton.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break. Final segment of tonight's Andrea Kaye Show coming up.
You're listening to somebody who tells it like it is. Andrea Kaye on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kaye Show. sticking to Northern California to wrap up the show. I've got a feel-good story of the day for you guys. You know how we've had all these pro-terrorist protests happening all across the country, right? Chanting death to America, spewing all their anti-Semitic, you know, screeds like from the river to the sea, which, by the way, I found out today that, and I wish I could say that I already knew this, but it's actually against the law. There's a federal statute against somebody who takes the side of a terrorist organization. And when they're chanting and waving Hezbollah flags, that's actually a crime. So I'm not going to feel guilty that my feel good story of the day is a pro-Palestinian agitator screaming in pain as the police tried to remove a device he attached to himself on the highway. So he somehow, you can go to, this is the CHP has actually tweeted out the video of this, and you can see him screaming. He's screaming in pain. He somehow has it a rebar. He shoved some kind of rebar or some kind of device onto his arm, and he's screaming in agony. This is kind of like these eco-Nazis that like glue their hands to the ground, you know, in protest for the environment, and then they can't, you know, get their hand off the ground, and then they're in agony, which always makes me giggle. So he's screaming in agony as the police are trying to get a piece of concrete off of him. And even though, you know, they're trying to help this idiot as he's screaming, he's still mad at the police. He's saying, they're twisting my hand for no reason. Stop squeezing my hand and twisting it. And they're like, dude, just let go of the rebar and we can free you from this situation. Okay. It kind of reminds me of Donald Rumsfeld back in the day when some pro-Palestinian got in the way of an Israeli tank and got killed. And Rumsfeld was asked about it. And he said, people who put themselves in harm's way, put themselves in harm's way. I think the CHP was too nice to this individual. I think the people who are holding Americans hostages, causing that, you know, today the Supreme Court heard arguments about obstruction charges that were levied against Americans who did nothing wrong and are facing 20 years? How about some obstruction charges to these idiots who pull this kind of crap on the Golden Gate Bridge or outside Chicago O'Hare or blocking traffic where people are trying to get their child to a doctor's appointment or to a cancer treatment or to a surgery, and they're pulling this kind of crap? Break his arm and drag him off. That's what I have to say. Anything you want to share and say, Sesame?
I just can't believe the crap that police officers have to put up with. I mean, I have so much respect for law enforcement, and there's all the stories you think about, you know, with dangerous, you know, abusive homicidal maniacs, because they're always dealing with that, and there's a constant war against law enforcement. But then there's also just stuff like this. It's just idiotic. It's dangerous. It's reckless. These people. I'm glad you mentioned the climate stuff, because just like these deranged climate, you know, climate change nuts, they have to make their problems and their personal beef everybody else's issue. They can't just go to a local park or to a library and wave a couple signs and have a peaceful little gathering. They have to go to the busiest parts of the city, block traffic on a busy Monday morning around 7 a.m. when people are commuting to work, because they know that that's going to create the most amount of pain for people. So the malicious intent is there right from the jump. Clearly, these people are malicious in addition to being idiotic.
They hate
idiotic.
America. That's what this is about. They hate America. This disruption is about inflicting as much pain as they can onto Americans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there should be no sympathy to them in removing them. None whatsoever. You have the right to peacefully protest, but you don't have the right to do this. You don't have the right to join forces with an organization that has been declared a terrorist organization that's aiding and abetting, and you don't have a right to disrupt America. Now, should you be thrown into the gulag for 20 years? I don't know. But, you know, how about we launch an investigation? How about every one of these people that's out there in the course of protesting on behalf of terrorists be all be rounded up and then investigated? That's what should happen. Instead, I feel for the police officers, but I think that they should be told, look, I like how the police handle things in Florida. They picked them up and dragged them off. And if somebody causes themselves, you know, does something that causes them physical pain in the course of being removed, well, so be it. Live it, learn it, right? That's what I say, you know, and they have to pay the medical bills at the same time. All right. Tomorrow's hump day. We're going to continue. I'm not even sure. I would like to say what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, but we don't know. Because we like to keep it fresh here, talk about the hot topics of the day. Email me at andrewkasher.com if you have anything that you want to chat about. I didn't have a chance to get to listener mail, but email me at andrewkasher.com. Follow me on all the socials. Follow Riley. What's your Twitter, Riley? Where can people follow you?
At RileyLewis760.
All right. Follow him there and download the podcast wherever you get your podcast. And come on back. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Pacific time right here on AM 1170, FM 96.1, and streaming all over the world.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.